All right, let's hear from some more people. So this next woman coming to the stage, I do another podcast with her, and yet she's never done this show of mine. I can't believe it. 7 years it took. The shirt she's wearing is indicative of the show we do. We do a show called She-Ra, Progressive of Power, about the kind of surprisingly modern messages of a very weird 80s cartoon that's coming back this year. Please put your hands together for my co-host and friend, Lauren Fates.
I'm going to use the podium because even when my brain is not nervous, my body shakes. All right, so I, surprisingly to me, have been going to conventions for almost 20 years. And so I've seen a lot of change, namely in what is the popular fandom of the time. So just, this is participation time. What is a popular fandom right now?
Marvel.
Yu-Gi-Oh? Really? I don't know about that. All right. So even after 20 years, the fandom that this story is about has never become popular. Please raise your hand if you've ever heard of the game Para Para Paradise. I see like three, so this story is perfect. to understand kind of the context of this, you have to take a journey with me back to high school. When other kids were playing sports and being popular and experimenting with sex and drugs, my AIM screen name was Japanime Girl with two R's. And I was wearing kitty ears and hanging out at Crazy Nickel's arcade, also in the Chicago suburbs. And we were playing Para Para. So Para Para has been compared to Dance Dance Revolution, except instead of your feet, you hit the arrows with your arms. The secret is the arrows aren't random. They're actually corresponding with, like, actual choreographed dances from Japanese nightclubs to actual songs. So if you know the choreography, you will hit the arrows. If this sounds pretentious and geeky, you are right. So if I'm honest, Para Para looks a lot like aircraft signaling, and so I'm going to show you a demo. Here we go. Okay, thank you. So picture that, but it's like teenage girls in leather skirts going, gosh, I hope boys are watching me do this. I just really hope they're watching. So somehow it gets kind of known in the scene that my friends and I do this, and a Japanese singer named Yoko Ishida asks us to be her backup dancers for some Para Para routines at Anime Central 2003. Some of you that I see in the audience were probably maybe not even born at that point. But we were given some CDs and some videos and three songs to practice. And we took this far. So my friends and I, we made multiple costume replicas of like dancers that we knew lived in Japan because we wanted to look just like them. And we got excused absences from our high school because we convinced them that ASEN was a cultural event. I think we even might have gotten out of like the walkathon that year. It was a big deal. So the big day came. We're at the convention center, and I'm a very hangry person. I have like a real blood sugar problem. And so when lunchtime came, I was just starving. Yoko Ishida hasn't shown up yet. We're super worried. We haven't really touched base with her. So we tell her entourage, we're just gonna go get some food. We'll be back as fast as we can. So we go, me and my best friend Susan. We get lunch, just inhale it like Kirby. And then we get back, and in that short time, we have been kicked from the show and replaced by other dancers because they thought we had bailed. And I was just devastated, and to this day, I'm not sure if the 8 dancers that were suddenly there to replace us were just pulled off the street or if they practiced as well and we never heard about them. All I knew was that I was a teenage girl, and because I ate a sandwich, my dreams weren't going to come true. And that's like a terrible thing to tell a teenage girl, by the way. But so seeing how devastated we were, Yoko Ishida herself invites us, okay, you can come on the stage for the last song, which was Cruel Angel's Thesis. And we're like, fine, just one song. We've been practicing for months, but that's fine. The lights go down. I'm so nervous. And even though I'm mad at all these new dancers for taking away my glory, I hold hands with like one of the boy ones who looks super cute, and I think he looks like Squall from Final Fantasy VIII. And you know, in hindsight, I stayed friends with him, and I stayed friends with all of those dancers who came in to replace us. But I haven't become any less bitter or presumptuous about strangers in the rest of my life. The dancing was great. It was short. But for the rest of the convention, we got to hang out with Yoko Ishida. And this is where con job really sort of comes in. Because we were in these elaborate cosplays, people kept mistaking us for her actual entourage from actual Japan. And so being Japan anime girl, I was very cringeworthy just into this. And there are so many photos that I just want to burn of me being like, yay, konnichiwa, in a way that was completely disrespectful. But at the time, I was just having the time of my life. And so that Monday, I went back to school, and nobody else at my high school had attended ASEN. Nobody had heard of Eurobeat music or Para Para Paradise. And so they had no idea what I'd just experienced. But there was a poster that would hang on my wall for years to come that said, Dear Lauren, you are cute. Love Yoko, XOXO. And I was like, yeah, someone in Japan thinks I'm cute. And I would never, ever be popular in high school. As a lot of you probably can relate to, I was quite the opposite. But that poster and that experience got me through a lot of hard times. And so I don't know what the lesson is here. It might be, if you have a special hobby that no one else knows about, just inflate your resume and everyone will believe you. Or it might be this. Embrace wholeheartedly just the dumbest, nerdiest, most obscure thing that you love so much that nobody else has ever heard of. Because I did, and 15 years later, that memory still makes me happy and still gives me a little bit of geek cred. So thanks, guys.
Lauren Fates, everybody, with the story and some sweet moves. I also have a story about not getting to perform with a band that I really liked at Lollapalooza, but mine doesn't have a happy ending. The happy ending is that I didn't get to be interviewed by KG from Tenacious D, so I know. But this isn't about me, guys. This isn't about me.